another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with our producer, Chad Ellis. And joining me once again from his home as we continue to practice proper social distancing is my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, what's happening?
Happy Father's Day weekend to you
guys.
Yeah,
back at you. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Another busy week in the news. How are things there at the Matthews compound?
You know what? Things are good. You know, I joked about having alligators in my moat, and everybody knows that's not real. However, on Amazon, well, on Amazon, I found a remote control alligator head.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it runs like a remote control boat, but it's an alligator head, so I'm getting me one.
I like it. I like it.
My neighbor's going to freak out.
You know, we're going to talk later in the show with Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, one of the great sponsors of this show, about fishing. We're also going to talk a lot about fishing during the podcast exclusive discussion this week. How are the fish there in the lake at your house?
Non-existent. I can only see my carp, and I can't wait to talk to him because I had hundreds of catfish, and we called them our guard fish because if somebody would approach the shore, the fish would think I was bringing food to them because I feed them a couple hundred pounds a year. And 2 years ago, they just disappeared. I think they're at the bottom. I've fished the bottom, but I haven't gotten any bites on it. The only thing I can think of is I have a neighbor that shoots off like municipal style fireworks. Like, I mean, big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense because he does it like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I believe that the explosion.
How often? Yeah.
Pretty often. About every time he gets a paycheck, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
But the only thing I can think of is because we never had a fish kill. We never had, you know, saw a lot of dead fish.
Right.
But I think they're maybe just down at the bottom, just like afraid or something. I don't know. I need a scuba mask and go down and see.
I think you're going to need more than a scuba mask.
I actually was looking for a remote control submarine with a camera, and they don't have one. At least I haven't been able to find it. That's where I found the alligator.
So Bluff City Outdoors, that actually their specialty is catfish fishing. So, maybe Mark can enlighten us a little bit.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I can't wait to ask him.
What's going on with that? So, yeah, we're going to have a great discussion with Mark McMurray later on in the show, talk some fishing. We are also going to talk to our friend Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. We haven't talked to Alex in months, and looking forward to catching up with her in the next segment. And right now, joining us, as he does every week at the beginning of the show, is our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, how you doing, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Another busy week. At least the weather's been really nice. The news has been terrible, but the weather's been good.
Yeah, the news has been one continuous giant cycle.
Yeah.
We went from virus season to loot, riot, and arson season to back to virus season, it seems, with the increasing numbers in about a dozen states. So
every week we've talked about the big pressure being put on the firearms industry. We saw the huge spike at the beginning of the coronavirus, and then we saw it pick back up here as the social unrest and protests have been happening around the country and in the news. Is that still the case as another week goes by? Is it still ramping up? Has it leveled off? Yeah. What's going on?
I don't think there's an end in sight. I got a message actually just shortly before going on the air from a friend of mine. Says, hey, I think it's time to get a gun and take a gun safety class. And
yeah.
I was like, yep, well, you know, come on in.
All the gun stores are open, but many of the classes, and you teach classes, of course, at Southern Armory. We've talked about that for years, and you've had consistent monthly classes, years, and have been unable to do that because of the coronavirus pandemic restrictions. And so now we have this situation where we have probably literally hundreds of thousands of first-time gun owners out there in the country without any training because they haven't been able because they've been able to buy a gun, but they haven't been able to do the CCW classes just because they're not available. So
right.
that is yeah. that 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 worries me a little bit.
We're approaching a little over 100 people now on our waiting list for classes.
Wow. Yeah.
So
the want is definitely there. They want the knowledge. They want the information. Yeah. And you can only get so much off watching YouTube videos, although there's some great information on YouTube about, you know, first-time gun buyers. I've looked that up. And again, you can't stress enough to learn the gun really seamlessly is to, you know, take it apart, you know, break it down, clean it correctly.
Yeah.
Right. And we've got a lot of those tutorial videos on our Facebook page. Yeah. Of, you know, hey, this is how you can install sights. This is how you can clean a gun. Here's a holster video. You know, talking about different types of holsters and what to look for. So, you know, you can come in and we can have these conversations too. You can look at the merchandise that we have.
So obviously the newest story out there, controversy happening right now, is surrounding the shooting of Rashard Brooks in Atlanta, in the Wendy's parking lot. The officers involved in that have been charged, and we've talked a lot about that on this radio station. I've talked a lot about it on this radio station. In fact, a little bit later on in the show, if you're listening to 97.1 FM Talk, a little bit later on Saturday afternoon, if you're listening on 97.1, we're going to have our friend Sheriff Marshak from Jefferson County. He's going to be weighing in on it. So I don't necessarily want to get into, unless you guys want to weigh in with your opinion, I don't necessarily want to rehash everything that is happening with that case, but I do think that it brings up an important discussion, and Aaron, you're the perfect person to talk to about this because you are a CCW teacher, a firearms instructor, and one of the things that people have been communicating to me, and I just don't know if this is a fact or not, so that's why I'm asking you, is that in CCW training, that if somebody, that they're saying, the ones that are saying that, you know, this shooting was not as cut and dry as some people think it is that if you have a taser fired at you, you're allowed to fire your gun at them. Forget about, again, set the case aside. Could you just talk about what are a person's rights when they have their gun? Because I think that a lot of people are confused because I keep hearing different opinions and different facts in quotes from two different sides.
Right. And probably because, you know, laws vary so much over all these different states. So you look at the state of Missouri, and it's if it can cause serious bodily injury or death, you can use deadly force. So when you look at a taser, okay, and you need to look at a taser versus a stun gun, a lot of people get those two confused. A stun gun is a contact device. You have to physically be close to them and touch them, and it electrocutes them.
Like a cattle prod type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A taser shoots out barbs, and these barbs come in various lengths to get through various depths of clothing, and then the wires attached to them can be anywhere from like 13 to like 25 feet. So and it completely disables the person when you shock them. They lock up like a board, and then they fall over, leaving them defenseless. Remember that tasers are what they call less than lethal. So there's less than lethal, there's lethal, less than lethal, and then non-lethal. Less than lethal can still kill you. And that's an important distinction. So when you look at like rubber bullets and beanbag rounds, if you shoot somebody in the head, you can cause serious bodily injury or death, right? Same thing if you shoot them in the chest at close range, you can cause serious bodily injury or death. Even at further range, you can cause some serious bodily injury. So there's always that risk, right? We talk like non-lethal, we're talking like pepper spray. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, yep. Okay. You know, in the Rashard Brooks case, if I can just interject here, in that case alone, if he was under the influence of alcohol or drugs or whatever, my thought, well, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if he would have connected that taser with that police officer, then that police officer's weapon, his fire, you know, his gun, his keys to his car, everything would have been accessible to Rashard.
Right.
My thought was if he was under the influence and he didn't know what he was grabbing, maybe he didn't realize that it was a taser. And because it's in the shape of a gun, it's right. in it's it, it, it Does that make sense? I mean, who knows? Right. Who knows what's what was going through his head? But that was a possibility in my head.
Maybe he thought it was a firearm and was going to use it as such. And, you know, we had a case in St. Louis not long ago where an officer got confused between a taser and a firearm and used a firearm on a suspect. Yep. When we had Sheriff Marchek on, we talked about weapon confusion, right? So, you know, it's a possibility. So, you know, if somebody points a taser at you, then, you know, you should consider that to be a deadly weapon. What are they going to do to you when you are stiff as a board on the ground for 7 seconds? If you press the trigger multiple times, you can actually get to fire continuously for 30 seconds. You don't want a Monday quarterback too bad. But
there's a lot of charges. There's a lot that needs to be, again, you know, that case. One of my biggest problems is with firing a gun in such a crowded area. It was very, is one of the parts that
we don't like. Wild West anymore, where everybody hides in the saloons and the businesses up and down the main strip, and you guys go out in the middle of the street and duke it out.
Yeah, so. This one needs to be, you know, investigated and litigated and, you know, just really, because there's so many layers to this one. It's not nearly as cut and dry as some of the other cases that we've seen. But, you know, I think it's important though, that we talk to these first time gun owners or people that haven't been in classes or haven't been in a class for a really long time, with, you know, all these people buying guns, maybe for the first time or for the first time in a very long time, that they know, you know, what their rights are and what they can and can't do with that firearm. Another one that I wanted to ask you about, Aaron, is can you use your gun if you're not on your own property? What's another example of, you know, where you can and cannot use a firearm with your CCW?
Well, that's a loaded question. Excuse the pun.
He just did that.
Does it just simply break down to if your life is in danger, you can use a gun, no matter where you're at?
Yeah, essentially that's what it comes down to. Now there's, you know, 17 places that you cannot carry a firearm. There are some exemptions in those, but essentially the test is there a threat of serious bodily injury or death? And is there a forcible felony being committed? Forcible felonies are going to be, you know, the short list is murder. Another good one right now is arson. And then you've got your burglaries, your rapes, and then there's about four or five more. And then, you know, anything with a weapon will also come up to the forcible felony standard. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, you know, you just got to take the class. And then the other thing that's great is the firearms training simulator we have, because we can put you in that burglary, or we can put you in the robbery, we can put you in the carjacking, we can put you in all these different scenarios and situations, and you got to play it out. And in our simulator, we don't just have a firearm, we have pepper spray as well. So you're able to kind of make the decision.
Cool. Pepper spray, that is great. That's a really, really great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because right now, with the lack of available training due to the coronavirus restrictions, going out to Southern Armory and getting in the firearm simulator is a great way to get some training and get some advice. And of course, Aaron and Jess are there to answer questions for you as well. You can't take a whole class, but you can at least get some information from them. Aaron, before we run out of time, tell people where they can find you at Southern Armory, where they can get information about when your classes are going to be starting back up, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So if you want information on classes, you can get our website, southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
Caught him off guard.
You can call Jessica and get on a waiting list. 314-965-GUNS. That's 965 guns. It's a great number. Easy to remember, right? You can email Jessica at jessica@southernarmory.com, just like the website, and say, hey, I want to get on, you know, your CCW class, your defensive pistol classes, pepper spray class, medical class, whatever you're interested in, you can tell her, and she will put you on a list. Visit us in store. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road. You can find us on Facebook at Southern Armory or Second Amendment News Podcast. Those are up, ready for your perusal. Videos on Facebook, etc. So yep. Definitely ways to get with us. And you know, we're here to help you out here.
Yeah.
I've said this before, for the last like almost 2 years we've been doing this show. You know, we don't look at you as a customer, we look at you as like a friend or family.
It's a great connection. It's a great connection you've made with the community there, and you provide not only great products, but the training and all the information and knowledge that can be gained by just picking the brains of Jess and Aaron out there at Southern Armory. And again, go to the website, southernarmory.com or Southern Armory on Facebook. Lots of great info there, too.
I'm glad you brought connected to the community, because if you have a fundraiser, let us know. That's another thing that we do a ton of.
Yeah.
If you guys got a fundraiser, silent auction, raffle going off, come talk to us. We've got stuff we can donate to you. Come chat with us.
Yeah, good stuff.
We're here to be a partner in a community, not just a business.
For sure. That is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Great to talk with you as always, and we'll talk to you back here same time next week.
Yep, we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. All right, we have to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will talk to our friend Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis, and my partner Bo Matthews is at home as we continue to practice proper social distancing, connected there to the Matthews compound. Want to remind people about a really cool offer happening from our friends at Intervine, intervine.com right now. Two things. You can send an email to VIP@intervine.com and get a free lantern and batteries that go along with that lantern, or you can go to intervine.com and use my name, Tony, as your discount code, and you can get 50% off everything. Flashlights, lanterns, headlamps, batteries in all different sizes and more. 50% off everything at Intervine if you use my name, Tony, as your discount code. That's INTERVINE.com, intervine.com. Go and check that out, especially if you are going to be out and about in the great outdoors. A good flashlight, a good lantern is something that you always need, and they have got you covered at Intervine. And of course, anytime we are discussing the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory, and they have full service repair and diagnostic capabilities. They can complete smaller jobs if you want to put new sights on, or more intricate jobs like barrel threading or recrowning of barrels. You got to get a hold of Razorback Armory online at razorbackarmory.com. You can also find them in De Pere, half mile east of 270 on Manchester Road. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Mm-hmm. A couple minutes from now, we are going to talk to our friend Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. Going to get into a fishing discussion with him, as well as in the podcast exclusive this week. Do we have Steve? Chad, do we have Steve booked?
Yes.
Very good. Yeah,
yes,
we have our friend Steve, the owner of Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood, is a avid fisherman, and he's an absolutely amazing fisherman. So he's going to be joining us for the podcast exclusive. Going to have a good old fishing talk. Hopefully you can join us for that. Don't forget about both of our podcasts. Every week we release the show podcast on Fridays, so you can actually get the show before it even airs every Friday. And then we release the podcast exclusive, which is a very fun discussion that you can only get by downloading the podcast. And that goes out on Mondays. You can get both podcasts just about anywhere you get podcasts. But I recommend the radio.com app, because the radio.com app is free. It's one-stop shopping for everything here at the radio station. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the radio rewind feature. And you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station, all at the radio.com app. And again, it is all free, so make sure you are checking that out. Mark McMurray in the next segment. Right now, though, as I mentioned, our friend Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. It's been too long. Alex, great to have you back on the show. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. It's a crazy world. I can't even remember the last time that we talked. I don't know if it was middle of coronavirus or if it was pre-coronavirus, but everything that has happened in the world, in the news here over the last few months, has created a boom in the firearms industry. Before we get into any specifics, just what are your thoughts about gun sales right now, and what are you guys thinking at Missouri Firearms Coalition about the state of the industry?
Well, we love the fact that we are seeing so many first-time gun buyers. Mm-hmm. We saw the highest number of gun sales ever recorded in American history in April, and then we about doubled that in March. All of the surveys are saying that like 40% of these people are first-time gun buyers, and almost half of those are women that are buying handguns for personal protection. So wow. We love the fact that the gun control debate is effectively over as far as we're concerned, because the people that were trying to disarm you are now the ones that are heading into those little gun shops around the corner and saying, I'm not usually like this. I would never be here. I don't like guns, but I have to protect my family. Like, I think they're finally starting to get it.
Go ahead,
yeah, because the unknown is scary. I mean, but it is kind of crazy. We just got to stress the training. You've got to train. And I was actually just reading an article earlier that if you're listening to this program, and it made me think to mention this, if you're just afraid, my wife is not a fan of firearms. She just, you know, is afraid to shoot for, you know, whatever reason. That's fine. A can of wasp spray can shoot pretty accurately at like 20 feet. So at least have something to help protect yourself. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are really concerned. You know, we saw a lot of women buying handguns for protection because of the virus. There were a lot. We saw a lot of those first-time gun buyers were also in the communities that had the highest unemployment rates heading through this pandemic. So a lot of citizens are worried about the financial impact that could have on their communities. And then, you know, we forgot all about the virus for a moment and had rioters and looters mm-hmm. that everybody was preparing for. So this has just been a crazy, crazy couple months. We've already sold 15 million firearms in America. Firearm sales across Missouri have quadrupled. In some places like St. Louis, they're doubling in places like Kansas City. The stores are empty. You're not going to find a lot of choice between your firearms and ammo. We do have a gun show this weekend, though, in St. Jen. So if anybody missed the boat, St. Jen this weekend would be a good chance to get down and join the club.
You know, Alex, you mentioned that, and we've talked a lot over the last few weeks about, you know, the boom in gun sales, and especially in first-time gun owners out there. However, I don't know why I never even thought to ask the question to the various folks that we've talked about. That is a really interesting fact that you just gave about how many women are purchasing guns for the first time. Do we have any other details about these first-time gun owners? Are they young people? Are they older people? Or is it just across the board?
Well, yeah, it's basically across the board. For instance, I saw reports that said of the first-time women gun owners that we have, a lot of them are nurses. You know, when all of the hospitals shut down, they were walking through the empty parking lots and parking garages at night, and they were coming in to arm themselves and protect themselves. You know, like I said, you have a lot of people in impoverished communities that are being really hit hard with the virus that are worried about what that could be, worried about what the poverty could do to their community. You have got people that are worried about the police not being able to protect them, worried about rioters and looters, theft and vandalism. There are a lot of reasons right now Americans are waking up to the fact that there aren't enough police or good police to be everywhere and protect everyone all at once, especially if some of them are not even responding. You know, they're only responding to life-threatening situations and only responding to life-threatening calls right now, which is leaving people realizing that they are their own first line of protection, and that's why they're going out and arming themselves.
Go ahead, Bo.
Yeah, you know, I had lunch with Sheriff Marshak the other day, and we were talking about how many people's vehicles are getting broken into in the city, in various counties around the St. Louis metro area. If you have a gun in your console, please be responsible. Please lock your vehicle, because most times these thieves are not breaking windows to get in. They're just checking car doors. So it's really important that if you want to make sure your items are secure, whether it's your firearm or your belongings, your money, whatever, just lock your doors. It is something so simple. A friend of mine was works in the city, had a level 3 Kevlar vest and a firearm in his vehicle. His truck is an older truck. When he hit the locks on his vehicle, the back right door didn't lock. So make sure your locks work too. I just want to throw it out there. Safety, you got to protect your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, another really good point that we're encouraging everybody is to know the laws. We are getting hundreds and hundreds of requests for information, phone calls, emails about what the law state in Missouri. What is the Stand Your Ground law state? What is the Castle Doctrine? Or do we have constitutional carry? It's really important that we know not only how to protect ourselves, as in where to find your firearm, where to find the proper training to use your firearm effectively, but we also need to know our rights under the law and when and how we're able to legally defend ourselves.
Yeah, so if people want that information, can they get that from Missouri Firearms Coalition?
Oh, absolutely. You can find us on Facebook. You can go to MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org. We have a lot of videos right now out on that very topic, because there's just a lot of interest, and especially in St. Louis and Kansas City, even a little bit in Columbia, they're having some trouble and they're wondering, you know, Stand Your Ground, is that for everything? Do we have a duty to retreat? Constitutional carry, did they end up repealing that like they tried to? There are a lot of questions, and we can absolutely help you figure that out, Missouri Firearms Coalition.
We are talking to Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. And Alex, ironically, it seems to be the rules that are being put in place by people on the left that are spurring people to go out and buy guns. So it's the people that usually are trying to limit or take away Second Amendment rights that are creating the boom right now in the industry. What is happening? And we know that will, at some point, the Democratic politicians, the anti-gun crowd is going to try to make a move. And, you know, they never rest, and it just hasn't been in the news here lately, but I'm sure it will happen soon. Are you guys monitoring anything right now at Missouri Firearms Coalition as far as legislation is concerned, either locally or nationally, about anything? Yep. That some anti-gun politicians, any bills or anything that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, they never rest. And to your point, you are exactly right in calling out their liberal logic. They're the ones that want the big government with all of the activist laws. And then all of a sudden, they're also the ones that want to defund the police, you know. And at first, I was laughing at that. I thought that was, idiotic. I was watching them, you know, riot and burn down their neighborhoods while they simultaneously scream for defunding the police. And then I realized that, no, now they're starting to get serious about it. That's the legislation we're watching, the Justice in Policing Act. You know, it's another one of those laws that have a beautiful name and it sounds good, you know, do it for the children and do it for the puppies and all of that. But this is going to drastically cut the security of the citizens of the United States of America across the board. So this is absolutely pertains to the Second Amendment, because at the same time they're telling us that they want to defund the police, we've got people out there shooting cops, prosecutors that don't want to prosecute anybody for any of this lawlessness, and they want to throw us in jail for owning AR-15s and want to put us in jail for 10 years here in Missouri. That was a bill here in Missouri for having a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds, all simultaneously. It's absolutely ridiculous, and we have to make sure that we stand strong here, because if this isn't the most clear example of why we need to defend the Second Amendment in good times or in bad, then I don't know what is.
And it is. It's about protecting ourselves, especially, you know, when I first heard the term defund the police, Alex, I was like, okay, Could I protect myself? Can my neighbors protect themselves? It's a scary thing, because if they defund the police, and then if the liberal left, the hard left, is able to change laws, well, then who's going to police anybody? It's only the bad guys that would have the firearms, because you and I are law-abiding citizens. We've registered our weapons. We've done the right thing. And now it would be just the bad guys. It always seems so crazy, doesn't it, that the laws that are written for law-abiding citizens are not respected by unlawful people? It's frightening.
Right. I mean, they're worried about racism. So what could possibly go wrong by defunding security and encouraging people to take the law into their own hands? I mean,
anarchy.
Really, that is what they're advocating. Mm. You know, they're claiming that they don't want to completely defund the police. That's just their slogan. You know, they want to, you know, staff the police with crisis-trained de-escalation staff and put money toward women's shelters and counselors and social workers and, you know,
mental illness. Yep.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't have to do it by taking money from the front line. The rapists and thieves and murderers and pedophiles, that they're not going to be shaking their boots when they think
it's not either or. You can have both. You can have a good, strong, well-trained police force and have those crisis training specialists, those crisis trained specialists, and the women's shelters and the money towards the mental health. You can do all of it. You don't have to say, well, we want money to go towards mental health, so we have to take it away from the police. You can have
Tony
both.
if the government had the money to pay all these people with payroll protection plans and all that stuff, if they had the money to just all of a sudden just put that money out into the system, they've got to have the money to do this, to get the resources that our police departments
there's
need.
There's plenty of wasted money that could be redirected. Go ahead, Alex.
There are plenty of other things that my tax dollars go toward that we could give up first before we send our first responders out ill-equipped. You know, if you want to talk about training, different weapons, body cams, whatever, that's fine. But they do understand that that all costs money, right? Like, that's what funding is. Right? Like, you can't train them properly and make them wear body cams and jump through all these hoops without funding those initiatives. You know, and while we're at it, money doesn't solve all problems. We can't just throw money at things and expect the problem to go away. I say, if your police force isn't trained to protect you, why not? Ask yourself, why aren't you getting the services you need from the community that you're paying for? I'd say start firing people. You know, like, do you have a sheriff that's been sued for racial discrimination and sexual harassment like I do in Lincoln County? Fire him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a mayor hired the police chief that lets these men trample all over your civil rights? Fire her. And while you're at it, do the rest of us a favor and just say no to Joe. Don't hire the man that ushered in the 94 crime bill and now wants to disarm all of the women that are first-time gun owners because of the crisis that we're in.
Absolutely great points. Yeah, very, very well said. So we know the Missouri Firearms Coalition is always keeping an eye on what is happening and protecting your gun rights. And we've talked many times on this show that the bare minimum that you can do to help out is to visit the website, MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org, and sign the petitions that are working for the laws that you believe in. So Alex, just one more time before we let you go, all the different ways that people can get information about this possible legislation that's happening, bills that are being worked on from both sides, and how people can get involved if they want to.
Well, definitely come visit us at the MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org, or you can check us out on Facebook. We do a lot of live streaming, a lot of updates. There's a lot of fluid information that's coming and going right now, so stay up to date. So join us on social media, and then come see us at the gun show this weekend at the Community Center in St. Genevieve.
Very good. Good stuff. Alex Salzman from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Always good to talk with you. Let's make sure it's not so long next time, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Perfect. See you then.
All right. We need to take another quick break, and when we get back, we are going to talk to our friend Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, and we're going to talk a little bit about fishing, and we're going to solve the mystery of what is happening at Bo's house with the catfish. Where did they go?
Where's the tartar sauce? That's all I want to know.
Where are they? We'll find out next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner, Bo Matthews, is connected at his home as we continue to practice proper social distancing. In just a moment, we are going to talk to Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, one of the great sponsors of this show. And also want to remind you that today in the podcast exclusive, we are going to be talking to our friend Steve Jawar, the owner of Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood. He's a baker by trade, but he is an incredible fisherman, a good friend of mine. I just sent the guys here some pictures of Steve's latest couple fishing trips. He's a great bass fisherman, and he and I love to talk fishing, and so we're going to just have an opportunity to do that today in the podcast exclusive. Both of our podcasts are available just about anywhere you can download podcasts, but I always recommend the radio.com app. We release the Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors Show podcast every Friday, and then we release the podcast exclusive every Monday. So make sure you are checking them out. And we're going to talk to Mark about fishing, and we're going to talk to Steve about fishing. And whether Mark's on or not, every time we talk about fishing here on Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors, it's brought to you by Bluff City Outdoors, just across the river in Alton, Illinois, right there on the banks of the Mississippi River. Of course, they specialize in big catfish gear, rods, reels, hook weights, all that stuff, but also have a huge selection of crappie and bass lures, all your spoonbill snagging needs, everything you need to go fishing they have for you at Bluff City, and we will talk more about that with Mark here right now. BluffCityOutdoors.com. Check them out on the web and then get over there to 2813 East Broadway in Alton and see them for yourself. And like I said, Mark, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, joins us now. Mark, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, pretty good, Tony. Pretty good.
Yeah. So first thing we want to discuss, as I just mentioned and I talked about it earlier, most of my tackle box is full of Bluff City Outdoors gear already. So if you don't have to be going catfishing, but that is kind of your specialty there, especially being so close to the Mississippi River. Bo has a problem with catfish at his home. We were going to see if maybe you could diagnose the issue. Bo, could you explain it, please?
Okay, I'll just put it simply. We have a small pond on our property, and
it's a 42-acre lake.
It is Mark. Not. It's a puddle. It's a puddle compared to what you are.
He lives on an island in the middle of it.
I wish. Anyway, I stocked it probably 13 years ago with hundreds of catfish, and they were, you know, very active. I would feed them to grow them because I thought if anything ever went down, at least I'd have catfish to eat. Well, a couple of years ago, a neighbor of ours started blowing off like major municipal style fireworks. And ironically, the next spring when I went down to, you know, see the fish and, you know, because you could see them, the water's just clear as a bell. They have not surfaced at all. They don't come up to the surface. Even when I throw the catfish food out there, they don't surface.
And,
so,
you said that before, for years, you didn't even have to throw the food in yet. If anybody approached the banks.
Oh, we called them our guard fish. Exactly,
they
Tony.
They would go crazy.
And if somebody walked along the side that we weren't looking at, if the water started rippling, that meant somebody was alongside of our little pond.
Right. And then if you threw the food in, it was like the water was boiling.
Oh, absolutely. I've got tons of video, tons of videos. But those fish have not shown themselves. And they're not river cat. They're blue cat, I guess. But any suggestions? Because we never had a fish kill, never found any dead fish. Could they pond? And the pond is about, I think the deepest I found is only about 15 feet. But is it possible that they could just be sitting down on the bottom?
They could be. I mean, you might also need to check your neighbor's freezer.
Yes, that's a, you know what? That's what I was going to say. I was waiting for somebody else to say it. That I'm so glad you said that, Mark.
Believe me, anytime we've gone by a fish fry sign or a restaurant's having an all-you-can-eat fish fry, my wife's been like, well, they've obviously been fishing our pond, dang it.
Mm-hmm.
No, because, I mean, I hate to say it, but if somebody finds out you got fish like that in there, they'll sneak in at night and catch some because they're so easy to catch at night because they bite better. you may not see them. I would, in all honesty, I'd be suspect that somebody's come in there and caught a lot of them.
That is exactly what I was thinking also.
Because
that's the only option in your head that could have happened?
I don't see where anything else would have done it. I mean, they're very smart fish. They're and they're very hungry all the time. They don't turn down free meals.
Yeah. And they're not going to just go from being aggressive to being docile and just wait, like, well, the food will just float down and we'll eat it when it gets here. Many of them, they're going to be competing over that food the second it hits the water, right, Mark?
I get that, but that's what I was worried about, the fireworks issue. Because the fireworks, they were some serious fireworks. I thought, would that have done it?
You said this neighbor shoots them off pretty regularly, not just once or twice a year, but fairly regularly.
Oh, no. Every other week. Every time a paycheck comes in, I think.
Think that would be it.
I don't either.
I think somebody caught them.
I agree. Okay. I think that, too.
That's a lot of fish, man. That's a lot of fish.
Whew. Yeah, but, if somebody knows they're, like Mark said, somebody knows they're there, they come, at night consistently over the course of a few months.
Neighbor to the one side, I have never really even spoke to face to face. So
they
maybe,
eat fish
I don't
every day.
Know.
I have a family member who has a big farm in Illinois and has several different little ponds and lakes on various parts of the property, and has many, many times caught people with buckets just cleaning out their lakes, their ponds from, and it's usually catfish that they're trying to get. I'm talking about lakes that are like a half mile off the road in the woods, and people are still figured out that it's there and are trekking in there at night or early in the morning.
Oh, I believe it. With Google technology, Google Maps, you can find lakes anywhere. That's true. So all right, well, thanks for the attention on that little problem. How's the river fishing doing?
Yeah, what's going on there at Bluff City, and what is happening in the Mississippi River fishing community right now? Are people back out on the water, Mark?
Yeah, I usually try to follow a couple of the guides that we work with, see what they're posting, see what they're getting when they're taking their clients out, and it's been pretty active for a lot of fish here over the last couple of weeks. I noticed one of the one down in front of the yard, she looked like they caught about 20 fish the other day with a client. So that's usually how I kind of judge the bite, and then listen to my people that are just coming in there. And so the bite's been pretty good. They're just now, the river's been up. It's kind of back down around flood stage there below Alton. And so I'm kind of looking forward to the summer traffic really starting to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like a really good year across the board right now. I know that what I've heard about the Lake of the Ozarks and just my own personal experience is, unfortunately, it's been pretty limited so far this spring and summer, but I've had really good luck when I've had the opportunity to get out. So as I mentioned earlier, you can stock up on everything out there at Bluff City Outdoors. And unfortunately, Mark, we don't have a whole lot of time left on the show. We are going to continue the fishing discussion on the podcast exclusive, so I encourage everybody to download that podcast and continue the discussion with us there. But before we let you go, tell people all about Bluff City, but also the catfish tournament is coming up, and I think you're sold out as far as boats are concerned, but that doesn't mean that people still can't go out and participate and witness this really cool tournament that you guys have created.
Right. So that's September 12th. It's called the Alton Catfish Classic, and it is sold out. We did sell out the 100 boats, and sold out quick when we put it up.
That's great.
We posted it and started registering. So it's a great festivity. We tied it in with the Alton Expo, which is a festival that Alton puts on. So there's rides and there's foods and the beer tents and all that good stuff for people to enjoy. And then the weigh-in there will start 2:30 in the afternoon on that Saturday. It's a great time. You can go out and we do have a Facebook page, Alton Catfish Classic. Check it out. And then you can also send me a message here at Bluff City Outdoors, and we'll give anybody that wants to get any info on it, we'll help them out. And Yeah, it's just a great event. Last year was the first year for it, and we're looking forward to having another great one. And
I cannot recommend it enough. It is a great event. You get to see some amazing big catfish caught right there in the Mississippi River. You would think that you are at a long running, big time fishing tournament, the way that you guys run it, and this is only going to be the second year, so it is absolutely amazing. And for folks that want to find you out there at Bluff City, how can they do it?
So we've got our website, BluffCityOutdoors.com, and we're also on Facebook. Come out there and like our page. We appreciate that. And we're right over there in Alton. We're a mile east of Fast Eddie's on Broadway, 2813 East Broadway. And just come in and say hi. And, we're still doing a pretty decent job of keeping our fishing items stocked, which it's been tough on a lot of the bigger stores. I've seen some pictures of some of the big box stores where their stuff's bare, whereas we're able to resupply a little bit better. So.
That's great. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, do you guys have connections with like fishing guides? Like, if I don't own a boat and I want to go catfishing, is there people that you can refer
us
to?
Great question. Yeah.
Yeah, we got about six of them that we work with that we keep on file, and we can help you get hooked up with one of those guys. And
nice.
In fact, good we stuff. Just did that last weekend, Saturday. A couple people called, and they were headed out this week with the guides.
Good stuff. Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. Again, check him out at BluffCityOutdoors.com. Mark, thanks for everything that you do for the show, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet. All right, that is going to do it for this week's show. Make sure you continue the fishing discussion with us on the podcast exclusive this week. That's going to do it for the show. My name is Tony Colombo. For our producer, Chad Ellis, and my partner, Bo Matthews, thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis. My partner, Bo Matthews, is connected at his home as we continue to practice proper social distancing. In just a moment, we are going to talk to Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, one of the great sponsors of this show. And also want to remind you that today in the podcast exclusive, we are going to be talking to our friend Steve Jawar, the owner of Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood. He's a baker by trade, but he is an incredible fisherman, a good friend of mine. I just sent the guys here some pictures of Steve's latest couple fishing trips. He's a great bass fisherman, and he and I love to talk fishing, and so we're going to just have an opportunity to do that today in the podcast exclusive. Both of our podcasts are available just about anywhere you can download podcasts, but I always recommend the radio.com app. We release the Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors Show podcast every Friday, and then we release the podcast exclusive every Monday. So make sure you are checking them out. And we're going to talk to Mark about fishing, and we're going to talk to Steve about fishing, and whether Mark's on or not, every time we talk about fishing here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, it's brought to you by Bluff City Outdoors, just across the river in Alton, Illinois, right there on the banks of the Mississippi River. Of course, they specialize in big catfish gear, rods, reels, hook weights, all that stuff, but also have a huge selection of crappie and bass lures, all your spoonbill snagging needs, everything you need to go fishing, they have for you at Bluff City, and we will talk more about that with Mark here right now. BluffCityOutdoors.com. Check them out on the web and then get over there to 2813 East Broadway in Alton and see them for yourself. And like I said, Mark, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, joins us now. Mark, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, pretty good, Tony. Pretty good.
Yeah. So first thing we want to discuss, as I just mentioned and I talked about it earlier, most of my tackle box is full of Bluff City Outdoors gear already. So if you don't have to be going catfishing, but that is kind of your specialty there, especially being so close to the Mississippi River. Bo has a problem with catfish at his home. We were going to see if maybe you could diagnose the issue. Bo, could you explain it, please?
Okay, I'll just put it simply. We have a small pond on our property, and
it's a 42-acre lake.
It is Mark. Not. It's a puddle. It's a puddle compared to what you are.
He
used
lives
to.
On an island in the middle of it.
I wish. Anyway, I stocked it probably 13 years ago with hundreds of catfish, and they were, you know, very active. I would feed them to grow them because I thought if anything ever went down, at least I'd have catfish to eat. Well, a couple of years ago, a neighbor of ours started blowing off like major municipal style fireworks. And ironically, the next spring when I went down to, you know, see the fish and, you know, because you could see them, the water's just clear as a bell. They have not surfaced at all. They don't come up to the surface. Even when I throw the catfish food out there, they don't surface.
And, you said that before, for years, you didn't even have to throw the food in yet. If anybody approached the banks.
Oh, we called them our guard fish. Exactly,
they
Tony.
They would go crazy.
And if somebody walked along the side that we weren't looking at, if the water started rippling, that meant somebody was alongside of our little pond.
Right. And then if you threw the food in, it was like the water was boiling.
Oh, absolutely. I've got tons of video, tons of videos. But those fish have not shown themselves. And they're not river cat. They're blue cat, I guess. But any suggestions? Because we never had a fish kill, never found any dead fish. Could they pond? And the pond is about, I think the deepest I found is only about 15 feet. But is it possible that they could just be sitting down on the bottom?
They could be. I mean, you might also need to check your neighbor's freezer.
Yes, that's a, you know what? That's what I was going to say. I was waiting for somebody else to say it. That I'm so glad you said that, Mark.
Believe me, anytime we've gone by a fish fry sign or a restaurant's having an all-you-can-eat fish fry, my wife's been like, well, they've obviously been fishing our pond, dang it.
Mm-hmm.
No, because, I mean, I hate to say it, but if somebody finds out you got fish like that in there, they'll sneak in at night and catch some because they're so easy to catch at night because they bite better. You may not see them. I'd be suspect that somebody's come in there and caught a lot of them.
That is exactly what I was thinking, also.
Because
that's the only option in your head that could have happened.
I don't see where anything else would have done it. I mean, they're very smart fish. They're very hungry all the time. They don't turn down free meals.
Yeah. And they're not going to just go from being aggressive to being docile and just wait like, well, the food will just float down and we'll eat it when it gets here. Many of them, they're going to be competing over that food the second it hits the water. Right, Mark?
I get that. But that's what I was worried about, the fireworks issue. Because the fireworks, they were some serious fireworks. I thought, would that
and
have done?
That
I don't
this guy,
know.
You said this neighbor shoots him off pretty regular, not just once or twice a year, but fairly regular.
Oh, no. Every other week. Every time a paycheck comes in, I think.
I don't think that would be it.
I don't either.
I think somebody caught him.
I agree. Okay. I think that, too.
That's a lot of fish, man. That's a lot of fish.
Whew. Yeah, but, okay. You know, if somebody knows they're, like Mark said, somebody knows they're there, they come... You know, at night, consistently over the course of a few months.
neighbor to the one side. I have never really even spoke to face to face. So
they
maybe
eat fish
I
every
don't
day.
Know. I have a family member who has a big farm in Illinois and has several different little ponds and lakes on various parts of the property. And has many, many times caught people with buckets just cleaning out their lakes, their ponds from, and it's usually catfish that they're trying to get. I'm talking about lakes that are like a half mile off the road in the woods, and people are still figured out that it's there and are trucking in there at night or, you know, early in the morning.
Oh, I believe it. With Google technology, Google Maps, you can find lakes anywhere. Yeah. That's true. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for the attention on that little problem. How's the river fishing doing?
Yeah. What's going on there at Bluff City, and what is happening in the Mississippi River fishing community right now? Are people back out on the water, Mark?
Yeah. I usually try to follow a couple of the guides that we work with, see what they're posting, you know, see what they're getting when they're taking their clients out. And, it's been pretty active for a lot of fish here over the last couple of weeks. noticed one of the one down in front of the arch. He looked like they caught about 20 fish the other day with a client. So that's usually how I kind of judge the bite, and then listen to my people that are just coming in there. And so the bite's been pretty good. You know, like, so you get, they're just now, the river's been up. It's kind of back down around flood stage there below Alton. And so I'm kind of looking forward to the summer traffic really starting to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like a really good year across the board right now. I know that what I've heard about the Lake of the Ozarks and just my own personal experience is, it, unfortunately, it's been pretty limited so far this spring and summer, but I've had really good luck when I've had the opportunity to get out. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, you can stock up on everything out there at Bluff City Outdoors. And unfortunately, Mark, we don't have a whole lot of time left on the show. We are going to continue the fishing discussion on the podcast exclusive. So I encourage everybody to download that podcast and continue the discussion with us there. But before we let you go, tell people all about Bluff City, but also the catfish tournament is coming up, and I think you're sold out as far as boats are concerned, but that doesn't mean that people still can't go out and participate and witness this really cool tournament that you guys have created.
Right. So that's September 12th. It's called the Alton Catfish Classic, and it is sold out. We did sell out the 100 boats, and sold out quick when we put it up.
That's great.
We posted it and started registering. So it's a great festivity. We tied it in with the Alton Expo, which is a festival that Alton puts on. So there's rides and there's foods and the beer tents and all that good stuff for people to enjoy. And then the weigh-in there will start, 2:30 in the afternoon on that Saturday. It's a great time. You can go out and we do have a Facebook page, Alton Catfish Classic. Check it out. And then you can also send me a message here at Bluff City Outdoors, and we'll give anybody that wants to get any info on it, we'll help them out. And, yeah, it's just a great event. Last year was the first year for it, and we're looking forward to having another great one. And,
I cannot recommend it enough. It is a great event. You get to see some amazing big catfish caught, right there in the Mississippi River. You would think that you are at a long running, big time fishing tournament, the way that you guys run it, and this is only going to be the second year, so it is absolutely amazing. And for folks that want to find you out there at Bluff City, how can they do it?
So we've got our website, bluffcityoutdoors.com, and we're also on Facebook. Come out there and like our page. We appreciate that. And we're right over there in Alton. We're a mile east of Fast Eddie's on Broadway, 2813 East Broadway. And just come in and say hi. And, We're doing a pretty decent job of keeping our fishing items stocked, which it's been tough on a lot of the bigger stores. I've seen some pictures of some of the big box stores where their stuff's bare, whereas we're able to resupply a little bit better. So.
That's great. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, do you guys have connections with like fishing guides? Like, if I don't own a boat and I want to go catfishing, is there people that you can refer
us
to?
Great question. Yeah.
Yeah, we got about six of them that we work with that we keep on file, and we can help you get hooked up with one of those guys. And
nice.
In fact, just did that last weekend. Saturday, a couple people called, and they were headed out this week with the guides.
Good stuff. Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. Again, check them out at bluffcityoutdoors.com. Mark, thanks for everything that you do for the show, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
You bet. All right, that is going to do it for this week's show. Make sure you continue the fishing discussion with us on the podcast exclusive this week. That's going to do it for the show. My name is Tony Colombo. For our producer, Chad Ellis, and my partner, Bo Matthews, thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.